Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Brother John, and today we're discussing why the rapture will happen on the Sabbath day and how this was prophesied throughout the Old and New Testament scriptures and much, much more. But before I begin, I just want to say that I understand that what I say sometimes is not what many folks want to hear. I know that many folks want to hear that Christ is coming right now, and they want to hear that Jesus' coming is imminent and that it could happen at any minute. And believe me, I wish that this was true. There is nothing that I desire more than to be with our Lord forever. However, the Bible does indicate that certain events must happen first, and we are not there yet. So I must stand on what the Bible says and not give folks false hope. I want to use prophecy to be very precise about when Jesus is coming, because he gave us so much information about his coming and the things that would be happening around the world during the time of his coming. So this is not one of those channels that is going to cry wolf every feast day. There are plenty of those channels around that get folks excited about every single feast day for years on out and let them down time and time again for years on out, saying that the rapture is about to happen any minute, the same thing every single feast day throughout the entire year, and they've been saying the same thing for years. I don't want to cry wolf when we aren't there yet. I don't want to wear out the saints and give them false hope when I know that certain scriptures still need to be fulfilled. With prophecy, we can be very precise about the end times. The Lord did not keep us in darkness, but we are the children of the light and the children of the day. And this is the reason why Christ gave us so many signs, so we can know exactly when we are there. For example, the third temple must be built in order for 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 to be fulfilled. The world must get rid of cash and become a cashless society. Every nation must be using a centralized digital currency that is programmable via smart contract, which is tied to a social credit score, in order for the Antichrist to control the buying and selling, thus fulfilling Revelation chapter 13. And we aren't there yet, but we are getting very close to being there. But I believe that we are still a few years away, and this is based off my study of end times prophecy. Now, I know that things look bad around the world right now, but this is exactly what Jesus told us would be happening in Matthew 24. We see the famines, the pestilences, the wars, the rumors of wars, the droughts, and all of the supply shortages, etc. These are the birth pangs. These are the first five seals of Revelation. The birth pangs will continue to get worse until the baby is born at the sixth seal rapture. So don't let your hearts be troubled. Know that Jesus is with us until the very end. Read Psalms 91 daily and also Psalms 23. These are God's promises of protection to those that trust in him. We cannot do anything on our own, but God is our strength, and with God, all things are possible. God can carry us through these hard and difficult times because we trust in him. You know, lately I've been wondering if the rapture was, let's say, in the year 2028. Will these folks that are watching diligently today still be watching as diligently in, let's say, 5 years from now? Or will they be completely worn out and tired of watching and just give up hope because all of these false predictions that have been going on for years now? And for this very reason, I'm not going to cry wolf. I refuse to wear out the saints for years on out, because when that time actually does get close, folks won't even believe it anymore because they heard it all before for years already, they'll say. So this crying rapture, when the rapture is still years off, could actually backfire and wear out the saints, so that when the time really does come, they're already tired and many have fallen asleep and they wore themselves out believing that the rapture was imminent for years on out, that they got so weary and they just quit watching entirely. Remember, this is not a sprint, this is a marathon. Therefore, we must pace ourselves to be able to make it to the end of the race. We don't want to wear ourselves out unnecessarily. The rapture is not imminent. Jesus gave us the blueprint to the exact day when he is coming back to gather us at the rapture in Matthew 24, in Mark 13, Luke 17 and 21, Revelation chapter 6 and 7, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, etc. We have an abundance of information to know when Jesus is coming so that we will not be in darkness. Our Lord gave us so many signs of his coming that it is impossible to hold to this false imminency doctrine. So if you want someone that is going to tell you that Jesus is coming every single feast day or every other week, that is not going to be me. I'm not going to lie to my brothers and sisters. I don't want to get them excited just to let them down over and over again, especially when I know that Jesus said that certain events must happen first. For example, we must see Jerusalem surrounded with armies, and the abomination of desolation, which is when that man of sin is revealed. This is what triggers God's wrath. Then the Jews flee to the mountains as in the days of Lot, and Jesus comes, we get raptured, and the wrath comes down the same day that we go up. One thing, however, I will tell you is the truth about what the Bible says. Without all of the false interpretations, and without all of the cookie-cutter beliefs and the preconceived notions about the rapture that folks just repeat like parrots, Jesus never mentioned a future 7-year period in any of the Gospels or even in the entire New Testament. And I have put in countless hours studying end times prophecy and deeply pondering its true meanings, asking God for wisdom and understanding and to reveal the truth about the end times, regardless if it's good or bad, or if it's what folks want to hear or not. I do not care. All I care about is the truth. It doesn't matter to me if the truth is pre-trib, mid-trib, pre-wrath, post-trib, or none of the above. I just want to know the truth about what the Bible says. And when I asked God for that, I felt like all of the preconceived false doctrines that I learned about the rapture just went away. And I found out that a lot of people hold a lot of pride to their end times positions. And some are even unwilling to continue learning, even if they are wrong. They think that they got all the answers down correctly because so-and-so has a PhD or has a doctorate in end times theology. Well, I got news for you. God chooses the things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think that they are wise. And he chooses the things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. He does this so that man cannot get the glory, but so that the world will know that God has done this, so that God gets all of the glory. Not so-and-so with a doctorate in theology, but God reveals his scripture to whosoever he wills. And it's usually the ones that the world will least expect. For example, King David, before he was king, was only a shepherd boy. But God chose him because God looks at the heart, and he does not judge a man based upon his outward appearance like men do, but God looks at the heart. So when I hear that so-and-so is a scholar in the end times, to me that doesn't mean anything, because it is God that reveals the truth about the scriptures. One does not need to go to a seminary to understand the end times. You simply need to read the Bible and accept what Jesus said is true. And stop trying to divide every single little thing that you disagree with, because by doing so, you could be dividing incorrectly and throwing out important scripture regarding the times. For example, many folks try to divide Matthew 24 to the Jews, and they reject Jesus' teaching about the rapture, because they say that it's all written to the Jews. And by doing this, they're being left in darkness, not knowing when Jesus is going to come back. When Paul told us we are the children of the light and that we are not in darkness, because Jesus told us exactly when he's coming back. But folks didn't like his answer, so they falsely divided it to the Jews and came up with their own false doctrine, which is what their itching ears want to hear. Thus they came up with the 7-year pre-tribulation theory that originates from John Nelson Darby in the 1800s. that is completely unbiblical and all based upon the interpretations of Darby, which then spread like a wildfire via the Schofield Reference Bible. And now almost every seminary in the U.S. teaches John Nelson Darby's seven-year pre-tribulation theory to every single pastor, who then spreads this false doctrine to all the churches. This is why we have to study the Word for ourselves without all of the preconceived notions that folks learn from reading end times authors and watching pastors like Jack Hibbs or Andy Woods, etc. All these pre-trib pastors that hold to the Darby doctrine that is so unbiblical. They twist 2 Thessalonians 2 to try to make it a pre-trib verse, thus corrupting the scriptures to fit their own false doctrines. And they falsely divide the Word of God to throw out any scripture that doesn't fit their pre-trib theory. And it's led many astray from the truth about the end times and the signs of Jesus' coming. And this is why so many are in darkness, not knowing any of the signs of Jesus' coming. According to the pre-trib doctrine, there is no signs. He can come whenever he wants to, which is completely unbiblical and contradicts all of the signs that Jesus gave to his followers, to those that believe on him. The signs of his coming are in Matthew 24, which pre-tribbers dismiss as the second coming because it does not fit their made-up seven-year pre-tribulation false doctrine. Nowhere did Jesus tell us, when you see the Antichrist make a seven-year peace treaty with Israel, look up, for your redemption draws near. But folks make up their own doctrine and have become extremely dogmatic, as though they are right and everyone else is wrong. And that is where pride comes to play. Folks are unwilling to let go of their pride and relearn the Bible without all of the preconceived lies that they've been taught about the pre-tribulational rapture. Just read Luke 17 and Matthew 24, and you'll know that Jesus says plainly, without speaking in parable, he says the day the Son of Man will be revealed is the day when the Jews will flee to the housetops. And Matthew 24 tells us that the Jews flee to the housetops at the abomination of desolation, and also when Jerusalem is surrounded with armies. And I found a prophecy in the Old Testament that tells us exactly what army is going to surround Israel. It's the Medes, which is modern day Iran. So when you see Iran surrounding Jerusalem, that is when you know that the abomination of desolation is near. Then we should start to look up, for our redemption draws near. And that prophecy can be found in Isaiah chapter 13, verses 17 through 19, which says, "Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children." Now for this reason, Jesus says in Matthew 24, "Woe to them that give suck in those days, because their children will not be spared." And it goes on to say, "And Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah." And for this reason, God tells the Jews in Matthew 24 to flee to the mountains and not look back, because it will be as in the days of Lot, when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It will rain down fire from heaven at the first trumpet, and not only that, but God is going to come down in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. So indeed, it will be like the days of Lot. The same day the Jews flee to the mountains at the abomination of desolation is the same day of the rapture and the same day that God's wrath begins. So that being said, let's do a deep dive into end times prophecy regarding the Sabbath day and why the rapture will happen on this day, starting with what the Apostle John said in the book of Revelation in chapter 1, verse 7. And he said, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." So when Jesus comes in the clouds at the rapture, every eye will see him, because he is coming in glory shining as bright as lightning, and Israel will weep and wail when they see him, because their blind eyes will be opened and they will realize that they crucified Jesus, the true Messiah, that they rejected for 2,000 years, and they will mourn for him as for an only son, as it is written. And we can know that this is the rapture because Jesus is coming on the clouds. When Jesus comes on the clouds, that is the rapture. And John also wrote in verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Notice that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That is a huge clue to the rapture. John was caught up to heaven in the Spirit on the day of the Lord, the Sabbath day. Not just any Sabbath day, but the Sabbath day, according to God's 7,000-year plan for mankind. The rapture happens in the year 6,000 from Adam, that being the start of the day of the Lord, which lasts 1,000 years. And this is according to Scripture, for a day is as 1,000 years to the Lord. And in this 1,000 years includes the rapture, God's wrath, the battle of Armageddon, the second coming, and the 1,000 years of rest and peace on the earth with the Lord reigning in Jerusalem. A lot of things are going to happen within the day of the Lord because it lasts 1,000 years. And for this very reason, folks get confused because they read about the day of the Lord in Scripture and they believe that it's the second coming and not the rapture, when in fact it means both, because a day is as 1,000 years to the Lord. So you have to look at things from God's perspective, and in God's eyes, a day is as 1,000 years. There are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work wherever you live. It is the Sabbath to the Lord. This is a shadow of the great Sabbath day that is to come. That is the day of the Lord lasting 1,000 years. The 6 days are 6,000 years of mankind. Then comes the day of the Lord. A sacred assembly is a holy gathering, as in the church being changed from corruption to incorruption and gathering to meet Christ in the air on the Sabbath day. Exodus 19 says, And be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. This too is a foreshadow that Jesus will come down from heaven after 2,000 years from the cross. And the Son of Man will be revealed from heaven in great glory, and the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we will be raptured to Christ, and God's wrath will come down on the same day. John chapter 9 verses 4 through 6 tell us, As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Jesus is saying here that man has 6 days to work, or 6,000 years from Adam. But the seventh day is the Sabbath rest in which no man can work. Then he likens the seventh day to a day of darkness, where there is no light, meaning that the church is going to be gone from the earth for 3.5 years on the Sabbath during the time of God's wrath. Because we are the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night. We are not of the darkness. Because Jesus lives in us and he is the light of the world. The light is in the world until the day that no man can work, which is the Sabbath day, the day of the Lord. Now notice also that Jesus healed the blind man on the Sabbath day. John 9:14, and it says, And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. This blind man is a type of Israel that will be healed of their blindness on the day of the Lord, the Sabbath day. After 2,000 years of the church age comes the day of the Lord, the Sabbath day, in which the Son of Man will be revealed, and we will enter into his rest. And Israel's eyes will be opened, and they will weep for him as one weeps for that of an only son. Romans 11:25 says, For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. The fullness of the Gentiles is the end of the church age of grace, meaning that if the church began, let's say, in the year 29 AD, then it would last until the year 2029 AD, and that would be the end of the church age. And then comes Jesus to bring the great day of his wrath on the Sabbath day, and God's wrath will last 3.5 years. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 11 says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation, and said, They do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath they shall not enter into my rest." Notice here, God swore in his wrath that Israel would not enter into his rest. His rest being on the Sabbath day and lasting 1,000 years and beginning at the rapture. So Israel will be left behind and they will not enter into heaven because of their unbelief. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 7 through 8 says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Okay, so notice that we that are troubled are going to enter into rest with the saints in heaven when the Lord Jesus is revealed with his mighty angels. This is an exact reference to Matthew chapter 24 verse 31, which is the rapture, and also 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering unto him, also known as the harpazo, the rapture, the catching up. And notice that the same day that we enter into rest is the same day that God is going to take vengeance on them that know not God and that reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. So a few things are happening here. Number one, the first huge clue is that we enter into rest. This rest is the Sabbath day rest of the day of the Lord. The second clue is that this is the beginning of God's vengeance on them that know not God. This is the beginning of God's wrath. So the same day that we get raptured and enter into rest is the same day that God's vengeance comes upon them that know not God. And this happens on the Sabbath day, which is the day of the Lord, and it's the day that we enter into his rest. Hebrews chapter 4 verses 3 through 15 says, "For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest on the seventh day from all of his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, Today, after so long a time, as it is said, Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." So here we notice that Paul lets the church know of God's 7,000-year plan, and he lays out the seventh day as 1,000 years of rest that the people of God will enter into, starting on the day when the Son of Man is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels that will gather us onto Jesus at the coming of the Son of Man, just as it is written in the Gospels of Luke, Mark, and Matthew. And this event takes place at the sixth seal of the book of Revelation, all of which is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to rapture his bride to heaven and bring wrath and destruction on them that remain and dwell on the earth. that don't have the seal of God on their foreheads, the seal that protects them from God's wrath. Luke chapter 17 verses 26 through 27 says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. For 6 days the ark was open for entry, but the seventh day Noah shut the door of the ark, and the flood came. Likewise, 6 days mankind has to work, but the seventh day is the Lord's day. It is a Sabbath rest. The day when Jesus reveals himself to the world is the same day he will rapture us to heaven, and the day that the door of heaven will shut, and God's wrath will last for a time, times, and a half a time. And now we know when God's wrath comes, after 2 days from when Jesus ascended back to heaven. And when I say after 2 days, I mean after 2,000 years from the cross. So the earliest possibility for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ would be in the year 26 AD, and the latest would be in the year 33 AD. That would give us a rapture window from the year 2026 through the year 2033, being the window of 2,000 years from the cross. And one of those years will be Earth's 6,000th year and the start of the day of the Lord. So the church age lasts 2,000 years. Then comes the third day when the Lord will descend down from heaven with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and we will forever be with the Lord. Just as the Hosea 6 prophecy foretold, after 2 days we will live in his sight forever. That 2 days is 2,000 years of the church age of grace, which began the year that Jesus died on the cross and was buried and rose again on the third day, giving us the ultimate clue on when he's coming back. That is, after 2 days, he will come on the third day. For example, let's say that Jesus died in the year 28 AD. That would mean that the church age began in the year 28 AD, and that would also mean that the church age would last until the year 2028. And then would come the third day, which would be the day of the Lord, lasting from the year 2028 to the year 3028, lasting 1,000 years. And we, the church, would enter into God's rest because it is the Sabbath day, and Israel would not enter in because of their unbelief. However, their blind eyes will be opened on the Sabbath day, just as it was foreshadowed in the Gospel of John when Jesus healed the blind man on the Sabbath day. The blind man was a type of Israel, and the Sabbath was a foreshadow of the Sabbath that is to come, lasting 1,000 years. So brothers and sisters, do not be discouraged. We only have a short time on this earth left until our Lord Jesus Christ comes on the clouds and that great trumpet is sounded from heaven. We must use this time to gather more souls into the ark that is Jesus, for the sixth day is almost over and nobody can work on the day of the Lord. It is the Sabbath rest. So 2022 is not 2,000 years from the cross. Neither is the year 2023 or 2024 or even 2025. But the soonest year is the year 2026, and every year after that until the year 2033. And for those that don't know, I believe that Jesus died in the year 4000 from Adam. And that means that whatever year that Jesus died, simply adding 2,000 years to that year would take us to the year of Jesus Christ's return to rapture his body and to bring wrath on those that reject Christ. Now, regarding the fig tree prophecy, it could still be in play. However, the rapture would have to happen in Israel's 80th anniversary, and we would all then fly away, just as it is written in Psalms 90 verse 10. And Israel is turning 80 years old in the year 2028. Now, I'm not guaranteeing that Jesus died in the year 2028. I don't know for certain. I believe that he died somewhere between 26 AD and the year 33 AD. So that means that I believe that the rapture is going to happen sometime between the year 2026 and 2033. That being the 2000 year window of the church age of grace and the start of the day of the Lord, where we enter into rest and God's wrath comes, as it is written in Thessalonians. Now, many folks get confused about the day of the Lord because they think that it's the Battle of Armageddon and the Second Coming, which is true, but also it's much, much more. You see, the day of the Lord lasts 1,000 years, and many things are going to happen during this time, including Armageddon, but also the rapture and the reign of Christ lasting 1,000 years. So you have to remember that. That's something that you just have to consistently remind yourself of, because otherwise you're going to be confused when you read about the day of the Lord. So in conclusion, all of this is based on my study of Scripture, that God's wrath doesn't come until the third day, that is, until after 2,000 years from the start of the church, which may have been between 26 AD and the year 33 AD. So the timing of the rapture is somewhere between the year 2026 and the year 2033, and I hope that it's sooner rather than later, because there's nothing more that I desire than to be with the Lord forever as soon as possible. But at the same time, I know that God is gracious and He doesn't want anyone to perish. So with this time that we have, we must bring many souls to Christ while it is still day, because the night is coming which no man can work. That's all for now, brothers and sisters. I'm going to end with the gospel, that is, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The moment that you believe this good news, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is our down payment until the day of the rapture, when Jesus comes to gather us to Him on the day of our redemption. Jesus is going to come, He's going to collect His purchased possession, which is us, the church, unto the praise of His glory forever and ever. Amen. Until next time, brothers and sisters, God willing, I love you all, and Maranatha.